Today's episode is being sponsored by artist, author, and longtime friend of the PCPS, Anne Pellegrino, who has created one of the cutest, most fun, and infectious Gen X journals that's truly a creative trip down memory lane. The Gen X Journal is so much more than just a journal. It's a retro activity book for people of a certain age, filled with journaling prompts. I love that. I never know what to write in my journals. Coloring pages and cute doodles themed around our childhood and teen memories. What did your bedroom look like? Describe it or sketch it out in the journal. What favorite toys do you remember? What songs were playing at school dances? You can make your own mixtape right in the journal. You'll find over 80 pages of cute illustrations, fun topics, journal prompts, and lots of room for your own writing and drawings. Spend some time recalling long-forgotten favorites and, most importantly, getting in touch with your younger self. We love this journal so, so much. And it's available where you buy books or through the link in the show notes of this episode. Again, it's called The Gen X Journal, and it's created by Anne Pellegrino, who is Spot Girl Design on socials. And trust us, her art is beyond darling and whimsical. Go to spotgirldesign.com to check out all of Anne's incredible designs. Thanks for sponsoring this episode today, Anne. And more importantly, thank you for creating such a fun and fabulous journal.
Hi, this is Sean Cassidy, and you are listening to the Pop Culture Preservation Society with Kristen and Carolyn and Michelle and Sean Cassidy, which is not one word, but they say it like one word.
Hello, world, is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our very last minute, very off the cuff, very bleary-eyed, and incredibly exhausted recap episode of the most amazing weekend celebrating all the activities of our five-year anniversary.
I'm leaving this weekend so full, like not just my heart, my soul, my brain, everything is so full.
Yeah.
Oh, but God, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted.
Yes. We're old, you guys. That's the only way I could describe it. Like, can you imagine us going to Coachella or something? Dear sweet baby Jesus, we could not do that.
Start at 2 p.m.? Because I have to be home by 6:30.
Can I just tell you, when we got home back to Denver yesterday, I had told my husband, I want to introvert so hard the rest of this day and possibly the rest of this week. And I said, I don't even want to talk to you. So I was sitting at my bar in the kitchen. I had my headphones on. I was watching a Christmas movie on my iPad, and I was like coloring stuff in my journal, right? And he came in, and you could tell he wanted to ask me something, but so he went over and he wrote on a sticky note and he put it in front of me and it said, do you want any mac and cheese? He was like scared to talk to me because I was like, I'm not even talking to you. I just needed to be in my own head. I needed to watch a stupid Christmas movie and, you know, just be silent.
Yes. And in true, you know, this is so textbook, I can't even believe it. You can hear that my voice is not normal. And that is because I have promptly gotten sick. And actually, truth be told, I got sick right after the Jason show, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But I didn't tell anybody. And by sick, I mean just like, I was going to say a head cold. But when Liam was little, he would call it a nose cold. So I just have a nose cold. That's it. But I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want people to worry about me. I didn't want to bring the party down. And as Carolyn wisely said, once you say it out loud, then it's real. If I'm like, guys, I have a little cold and I don't really. So if I'm, and now it's real. So if I just kept it on the down low and medicated myself like crazy, nobody would know. And then I could pretend I wasn't sick. And now that everything's over, I can be sick. And you can hear it.
You need to take care of yourself.
I want to hug you, but I hugged you enough. So now I'm probably sick. So thanks for that. No, just kidding.
I held my breath. I swear to God, I held my breath.
But Kristen, I so like get what you're saying. I don't want to bring the party down.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, like I want to mother you, but that's what I, would have done. So yes, you're right. I would have then been constantly like, I'm worried about Kristen. Like I would have said at the hotel room at night to my husband, like, oh God, I feel so bad for Kristen. I hope she's okay.
Do you want to go
I would have
home?
Kicked into mothering mode. Like, yes. Do you need anything? Should I bring you something? Are you sure you don't have to go tonight? Or, you know, I would have been like mothering you. So, so thank you for that. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I want to give you a hug.
I know. Thank you.
Well, I think that's partly, at least for me, why the whole weekend was so exhausting on top of like being on, which we'll talk about as we go through our weekend. But it's also that mothering piece for me was kind of on high alert, like when we were at the concert with all the friends we had brought. And, you know, even Saturday night at our live recording, like our audience, is everybody okay? That just wipes me out. And I feel like I can't be present. I really have to work on that. But if I had known Kristen was not feeling well on top
of
everything
else. That would have sent you over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have had to been drugged the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. We all are people pleasers for sure. Mm-hmm. But Carolyn, you are the queen of people pleasing. And I don't mean that as a criticism. That's just an observation. No. And like you said, that's something you're working on. But you were. I could see it in you. I could
you
see it
did
in you
on Sunday.
Saturday and on Sunday for sure. Making sure we're supposed to be and making sure everybody knew and felt okay. Like they didn't have to worry about anything.
Carolyn would worry about
probably
it for us.
Got a little snippy at times, but it is what it is. All right. Well, let's start. Let's tell everybody about our incredibly fun, soul-filled, exhausting weekend. I am going to start with our Friday morning, bright and early, day that we started at the Jason Show. Okay. You guys remember we have been on what's it called again?
The Jason Show.
Not live with Jason. Yeah.
It's just called Somebody the Jason Show.
Right. Yeah, the Jason Show.
This is exactly what we're talking about. Like, we're having trouble forming words and we're trying to record a podcast episode. What are we thinking?
Right. I know. Well, I do. Well, I just remembered what I wanted to say. So originally, Michelle and I, let's take it back a little bit. Originally, when we decided we were going to see Sean on Sunday, November the 10th, we were all excited. I still lived in Minnesota. I did not know when we bought those tickets that I would be living in Pennsylvania.
Mm-mm. Right.
And so it was going to be, okay, I'll come in for the weekend. I'll see Maggie. We do a little wedding stuff and it'll be fun once I found out we were moving. Okay. Well, then Kristen gets this idea maybe a week before we're getting there. She's like, since we're all going to be together and it's kind of around our fifth anniversary, I'm just going to pitch the Jason Show and see if they want us to come on. Well, they did. And then right around the same time, we're like, well, we're all together and it is our fifth anniversary. Why don't we try to do a live recording? And we'll just fit that in on Saturday night. So just so you listeners know, this went from being, oh, let's get together for Sean to being really a wild weekend.
And it went from we live here and we're going to go see a concert together to nobody lives here. Everyone has to fly in and we're going to do all of those things.
I know.
Exactly. But we did. So it was victory. And we started at the Jason Show.
Yeah.
And it, as usual, was so much fun. We all looked great.
We did.
And everyone, I just want you to know.
I was having a really good hair day. Sorry, but I was having a really good hair day that day, not the rest of the weekend, but that day, things were good.
Yes. Everybody looked smashing, I must say.
We did.
And I've got to say, I bought the sweater the night before at Nordstrom Rack that I've gotten so many compliments on that I'm going to find it online. I'm going to post the link. So if you too want this sweater that nonstop, even Jason, that's how the show started. After we came out and he said, let's have a hug line. He invited us to hug him and we gave our consent and we all hugged. And then we went over to the couch like we like to do and he complimented my sweater. And then
let me just say, he said you all look great, but he was looking at your sweater.
He really loved your sweater.
That's a really cute idea. I think at least Kristen and I should get one because it's kind of a PCPS sweater. Like it's very
the motif is very PCPS.
Yes, it is. I will tell you, I was nothing but excited for that though. Yes, of course, since we only knew a week before, I was thrown into a panic of what am I going to wear? I had to run to Nordstrom, you know, like 3 days before I left on the trip. I was like, what am I going to wear? I will just say I wasn't nervous at all. I was just excited and I've kind of gotten to where I didn't see like the TV cameras. I didn't notice that as much. And I think that has everything to do with Jason Matheson. He makes us feel so comfortable. He's so much fun. I like to think he's our honorary little brother now, you guys. Mm-hmm. And I really think we need to get him on this podcast so we could talk longer about these top 10 things, because all of them were so fun. You could tell he wanted to talk more about Oprah's Wagon of Fat.
The top 10. I just have to tell people what you're talking about. Yeah. The top 10 things that she's... We went on the show with a top 10 list of the best Gen X moments as decided by us and our listeners, and the things that we really enjoy talking about. So that was our purpose in being there, is to reveal what this top 10 list was of Gen X moments. And I thought we would maybe talk about those today, but I think that's a whole episode revealing what those top 10 Gen X moments are.
And I want Jason to come on because he, when we mentioned Jane Fonda's workout and Richard Simmons, he said that he has them in his workout room now. Like, I don't know if he means posters of them, bobbleheads, whatever, but he was excited to talk about a lot of these. But when you're on a TV show, we were on for two segments. That's like two 5-minute segments. That is so quick. So we're going to invite him on. He's a very busy man. If he can come on, great. If not, we'll still, like Kristen said, do an episode. But
we'll do an episode on the topic.
It was so fun.
I'll put a link in the show notes to our segment on his show as well, so you can see what we're referring to and see my really cute sweater.
And if we do an episode on it, we really couldn't deep dive into these top 10 items and the history behind them. If we do a whole episode, we can tease it out a little bit more, because there's a lot to be said about all of the things we talked about. Basically, we just listed them on the show, but in an episode, we can go deeper.
And, you know, the audience, too, because we obviously can see the audience from where we're sitting, as well as the crew. We can see all that. And when we were naming some of those things, people were just, like, nodding in such agreement. And even that face you get when you forgot that you knew something. And, they, you know, people.
We were Husker doing them. Still,
yes, we were Husker doing everybody.
In real life, yeah.
In the audience, you could see that they got Husker Du face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's funny is when we were back in the little green room and watch, you know, there's a TV so you can watch the show that's going on before you get out there. And when they would do shots of the audience, we looked at each other and we were all, the three of us were like, oh, no, the demographic is more boomer for sure. Like they're all older than we are. But of course, like we say all the time, all generations are welcome here on the Pop Culture Preservation Society. All of these things they were experiencing maybe as young adults. And so they were hooting and hollering at every single thing we mentioned.
There was good overlap too.
Yeah, it was great.
There was good energy in that room.
So that was so much fun. And, and you know, when I left, I said, you know, he's like, come back anytime. So next time, maybe we'll go with more than a week's notice. Both times, you guys, we've been on the Jason show.
No, but I think that's how it goes.
Okay.
That's how it goes. Or days. Or maybe the day before when they're like, we don't have anybody tomorrow. Can you come on? And I was telling Carolyn this. This is the fourth time I've been, fourth or fifth? I think it's the fourth time I've gone on TV this year. It's been a good year for the PCPS and for Kristen Nilsen, the author, in terms of media. And that first time I went on TV, I really thought I was going to poop my pants. And this fourth time, I'm like, I'm not pooping myself.
It was just fun. Yeah.
It was.
You're
it
like,
was
give
literally
me the mic.
Just
I'll
fun.
Mic myself up.
Yeah,
like, right. I mean, you've got experience. When she came in, I knew, like, I turned around, presented my butt to her so she could put the thing in my back pocket. I was like, but also we were all kind of conscious of, are we supposed to look out at the audience? Are we supposed to look at Jason? Are we supposed to look at the camera ever? That part, you know, we don't ever want to do a Cindy Brady, right? Where you're like,
you're just like, oh, no. You just stare into the camera.
It was so much fun. But yes, we will be back on there in 2026. I know for sure. I think I'm just going to have an outfit at the ready, guys. I'm just going to now have an outfit that's in my closet dedicated to next time I go on the Jason show. This is what I'm wearing.
Oh, I'm the opposite. Say,
that throws me in a panic. That throws
me in
a panic.
It does throw you in a panic. And now I've done it four times because I've gone on TV four times. And now I have accepted the fact that every time you go on TV, you have to get something new.
Yeah.
And I nailed it this time. I wore my backwards pants again because some of you may recall when I went on the show to talk about the Scott Fenwick Diaries, I was wearing pants and he liked my pants and I said they were backwards. And then instead of talking about my book, we talked about my backwards pants, which is not a good use of my media time.
No, was not a good
use. But I was egging it on. It's my fault. It's not his fault. It's my fault. So I just thought it would be funny to wear my backwards pants again. And my dad texted me. He's like, you should tell Carolyn and Michelle to wear their pants backwards too.
I wouldn't have been able to sit down, I'm sure.
And I, no, but your shirt was super cute. Your shirt was really,
the shirt
I wish
was
I wouldn't have
great.
Been so,
yes.
I was all like, I want to be monochromatic so that I look a little slimmer on TV. And I was like, I'm going to wear like a cool, I'm going to look, are you laughing? Cause I didn't.
No, I just, that was a cute enough. No, that, oh,
the slimming
good,
part.
That was a good try. Didn't work.
I know. That's what it sounded like.
Try again.
I was like, I'm going to wear a fun, like wham tee. Like that's, I love a good, you guys know, I love a good retro graphic tee. But when I stood next to you, and I loved my outfit, don't get me wrong. And I'll be wearing it again. Normal. But when I stood next to the two of you, you guys were in bright, fun color. So I kind of wish I'd have been a little more colorful.
No. That's
colorful.
Important. I think it was perfect. I learned this from my painter, the woman who painted my house. She said, when you have a lot of bold color, you need to have some black somewhere in the room to ground it. So that, okay, that actually looks like, yep, that was you. You are the
Thank
grounding
you for grounding
force.
Us, Michelle.
It's too chaotic if we had all been in bright colors. So mine, the thing that I got on top of my backwards pants was just like glaringly orange. And I loved it. And I did get a lot of comments from people about, where did you get your pants? Where did you get your shirt? Where is this from? So it means we nailed it. If people are asking us where we got our outfit.
We will put links to all of our outfits.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell everybody that when I'm in a jam, Anthropology is where I go. Anthropology should be paying me right now because every time I go on TV, I've gotten something at Anthropology. Part of it is because they have lots of cropped things, and then it looks like full-length pants on
that
I don't have to hem them.
Well, guys, one thing we didn't tell you is the whole reason we're throwing this kind of last-minute wrap-up in is because we do have an episode, you know, scheduled
in the can.
Already earmarked for Monday, but it hasn't been edited yet, and none of us have the time or the brain with
poor Carolyn, just
brand bandwidth
it.
Or whatever you call it to do it this week. So we're trying to make this kind of like one of our PCPS lights where it's quick and we don't have a lot of editing and we have no notes. We have no research. So
can you tell?
Let's move on to Saturday. You guys are live. Like Carolyn said, it was kind of last minute. And our live recording of an episode was kind of an experiment, to be honest with you.
It was so experimental.
We did not know if anyone was going to show up, but they did. They did.
It was, you guys. There's always that moment where you're like, oh my God, nobody's going to come.
And we had to get extra chairs.
Yeah.
We had to get out extra chairs from the back room in the bookstore. And that was really exciting. It was a full house.
We couldn't have really had any more and had it been like as fun and intimate as it was. It was the perfect amount.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, we had only had four RSVPs. So all we knew was that four people were coming. And as you know, when people RSVP, half of them don't come. So I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have two people. So to have a full house was more than gratifying. And it was great because it was the people who walked through, started streaming through the door. First of all, you're surprised because you're like, I thought it was going to be two people. There were old friends. There were new friends. There were listeners we had never met before. We were under the impression that we knew all of the local listeners. We don't. There were new people. We're like, we don't know you. This is so nice to meet you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And perfect energy, too.
It will never be... How should I say this? And again, please just excuse all our brain fog right now.
Yes, please.
It will never be not bizarre. I'm just going with it. It'll never be not bizarre to me when someone is waiting while I'm having a conversation with someone else. And then they say, oh my God, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity. I've listened to you guys for 5 years and this is so exciting. And I feel like I know you and I'm a little nervous right now. And I just am always like, oh my God, stop. First of all, thank you. I love you for feeling, you know, it's just, we feel so humbled and so, it just makes us, our hearts so full and it makes us so happy. But it's always just so bizarre when people are like, just because we have these conversations here, but I get it. I feel the same way towards podcasters I listen to. So it was just so sweet and so nice.
Wouldn't you agree that it's just as exciting for us? Like, that might seem weird. Yes. And maybe when you get to be SmartLess or Dax Shepard, you're not as excited to meet your listeners. But for me, it's reciprocal. It really is.
Yeah.
It's as much as you are excited to meet us, we are just as excited to meet you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Do you guys remember how back in the day, now listen, I'm not comparing us to Taylor Swift by any means. But let me just keep going with this little analogy because it works for me in my head.
Sure.
Back in the day when my girls were smaller and I took her to like the Red Tour or, you know, those tours way before eras, right? So we're talking like over 10 years ago. And even when she would win an award, she would get so much criticism because when everybody, when, you know, an arena is cheering for her and clapping at the end of a song, she would stop and she would just look all around with like this expression on her face, like open mouth, like, I can't believe it. And she would do that on awards shows too. And she did it at the end of many of her songs on these tours, to the point where she got a lot of flack for it and a lot of criticism that people thought, oh God, give me a break. She's being so like over dramatic. Like, she can't believe this many people are cheering for her. And I never took it that way. I always was like, are you kidding me? She's being very genuine in my mind. She can't believe these people like her. Like, it's like Sally
Fields,
she's
enjoying every moment. Yeah, you like me. You really like me.
And that's kind of how I feel when we get people that say to us, oh, I can't believe I'm meeting you, or I've listened to you guys for so long and whatever. I am genuinely taken aback and just so grateful that they do. And I feel really, it just makes me feel really good that what we do and what we say is touching people. And that can sound cheesy and that can sound, you know,
whatever,
disingenuous, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah, that's right. And they were so excited to be there. So to be sitting, to have them in the audience, the look on their face when we start talking, it added so much drama to the live recording. It felt so, so good. We forgot to mention, by the way, that this recording was taking place at Big Hill Books in the middle of the bookstore. Big Hill Books is where I work, and Beth Thompson is the owner of the book, and she graciously allowed us to record an episode in the store. It was such a great place to do this. It was a beautiful backdrop. And then, of course, people go book shopping after. It was so much fun. But to sit there and do this thing that we do, which is very solitary. We sit in an empty space by ourselves and we look at each other on a screen. And to now look up, and instead of seeing Carolyn and Michelle, I'm seeing these happy, eager faces. Because they know that we're going to say Marshall, Will, and Holly. They know that we're going to say Big Wheel Generation. They know we're going to say, and now we'll be preserving. I'm Carolyn. I'm Kristen. I'm Michelle. And after that first, when we said the intro, and Michelle says, and we are your pop culture preservationists. And they all start clapping and cheering. And it was so exciting. It was so exciting.
Really was. It was also really fun to have laughter in real
time. It was great.
We say things, you know, we're recording here again on our, like Kristen said, on our screens. And so we laugh at each other. We think we're funny. But the things we said that were funny, we got a laugh. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was really great. Oh, no, don't egg us on. So then
we'll be here all night.
I grabbed my mic and stood up and started walking back. No, it was fun. And that episode, everyone listening now, we recorded will be coming to you, but not until December 1st, because even though we've done all our celebrations and, oh my gosh, people have been so nice on social media, posting their own happy 5th anniversaries to us.
So nice.
Which we'll take. Like, we're gonna consider the entire month of November.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming. Exactly. We're gonna consider that November is our 5th anniversary month. The actual date of our first episode was November 27th, 2020, and that's coming to you on that anniversary is on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So the episode we recorded at Big Hill Books Live will be dropping on Monday, December 1st. Just FYI.
And keep in mind, when we're recording this, we are really like letting them into the factory, because this was not a performance. This was not something that we practiced. We did it exactly as we do it, where we go and we do our own preparation, and then we come and we look at each other and we ask each other questions and we talk about what we're supposed to talk about. And that comes with a lot of messiness, like, oh, no, don't do that. No, take that out. I lost my place? Right. So there was an awful lot of that they got to observe. We didn't clean it up for them. We were literally letting them into our process. And that was really cool. It was sort of like when you go to on the field trip to the dairy farm when you're a kid and there's like the glass and you get to watch behind the glass as they milk the cows. That's what it was like.
Yes. So we're the cows in this situation.
Yes, we're the cows getting milked. Yeah.
Maybe. That's great. I don't know that I want to be compared to a cow, but whatever. But in terms of the actual technical stuff. I'm hoping, you guys, that this episode will sound just as wonderful, I think, as the rest of ours. But know, ladies and gentlemen, that, again, you're never too old to learn new things. This was a whole new setup for us. We did not record the usual way we do, because we're obviously, the three of us are together, so we're not using some of the platforms we've used before. I had to learn some new things in a very short amount of time. So one, we preface the episode with, you know, it might sound a little different, and we're letting you guys know, again, it might sound a little different. But I just want to pat myself on the back, because this was really 0 to 60 in a very short amount of time. And it's, again, a testament to the fact that you're never too old to learn something. And just take the chance. It's maybe not going to be perfect, but much like when we started this 5 years ago, we knew it wasn't going to be perfect. And if we waited, we would not be in your ears right now. So just know that it doesn't have to be perfect for you to try the thing. And people are gracious and understanding. And our expectations are usually a little higher than those that we're,
What we've found. Really, that is so true. People are gracious and understanding, especially when you say, you know what, I just learned this. I'm just learning how to do this. I'm just going to give it a try, and it's not perfect. We, I think, as women in particular, and women of this age, we really do think that everything has to be perfect, and that is a lie.
It's a lie. Yeah, we'd never start some things if that was the case. Yeah. But I must say, there was one, actually two perfect things at this event. You guys, Kristen ordered these cakes, and they were, well, one, they tasted delicious. But two, one of them, this sheet cake, it had our faces on it. It was that image where we're like talking on the phone and everything. You guys, my face was on a cake. Like, when on earth was that ever going to happen? So fun. So thank you, Kristen,
they were really cute.
For
you
doing
were welcome.
That.
They were so, so cute. Fun. And we did get good pictures.
Hey, listeners, it's Carolyn, and I am thrilled to share with you that today's episode is being sponsored by Amanda McGee. She is one of my favorite artists and a loyal PCPS listener as well. She creates this wonderful, nostalgic pop culture art that brings me pure Gen X joy every time I see it. Think big wheels, banana seat bikes, Saturday morning cartoons glowing on wood panel TV sets. Her work is bright and happy, and it's truly dripping with nostalgia. It's the perfect gift for your sister, your bestie, or yourself. Because why not? I gifted myself Amanda's Christmas morning print last year, and let me tell you, it is everything. I dare you to find a piece of art that can bring you more joy. So make this gift-giving season special. Head to AmandaMcGee.com. That's AmandaMcGee.com. From now through December 15th, enjoy 25% off all reproduction prints. The best news of all is that PCPS listeners can receive a complimentary $25 mini print with every purchase of a print. Just use PCPS at checkout. So head to AmandaMcGee.com and get some of your holiday shopping done today.
Hi, listeners. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. They look for products that are high quality and unique. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift feel meaningful and truly one of a kind. I know I'm supposed to be shopping for other people right now, but I might just buy the literary clock for myself. It's beautiful, and it displays a time-themed literary quote every single minute. This would look so good on my desk. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. That's a great way to spend your holiday dollars. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/PCPS. That's uncommongoods.com/PCPS for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. I think the other most exciting thing about that that live recording was getting to do the toast together with people. It was so fun. We had them do the toast with us, and we all had champagne, and we all clinked our glasses, and it was just such a communal moment in this experience, which is usually solitary. You know, we may raise our glasses to each other on the screen, but we can't actually clink. We're not together.
And we're raising really like our water bottles from our recording or our Diet Pepsi.
Right.
I've decided though, I think going forward in season 18, I'm going to actually start every time we record, I'm toasting you guys with actual champagne. I've decided. I'm going to go get a whole bunch of those little tiny bottles of Prosecco. And every day it's a recording day. I just know that Michelle gets to have a little bit of a toast.
Just wait till the end before you start drinking. We don't need a tipsy Michelle during the episode.
Tipsy Michelle. That sounds like your nickname. Tipsy Michelle. Okay, should we move on to like the big brouhaha? The thing that started this weekend was when Sean Cassidy announced that he would be performing in Burnsville, Minnesota on November 9th. And of course we're going to get tickets. I mean, it's the reason we exist. So duh, we're going to get tickets. And that blossomed into a five-year anniversary weekend. And so we were lucky enough to have a block of tickets to share with our local listeners, with people in the local area who are listeners of the podcast. So we were going as a group, as a large group. And there was some complication to this because, as you know, we have met Sean Cassidy before. There have been times where we've been called backstage to talk with him. So we knew that there was a possibility that we could see him again, but we also didn't want to make any assumptions. But no,
or any promises to anyone.
Or any promises. Right. We have these people. We cannot assume that if he says, I'd love to see you guys after the show, we'll be like, can we bring our 10 friends? Like, we can't make that assumption. So that made it a little dicey when we're making arrangements with this group of people. And so I was very cagey. Then I would say, you know what? This could change. So please just keep checking your email just in case. And then at one point, one of the people texted me and she's like, what do you mean just in case? What are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. We might like want to, I don't know. I just don't know. We didn't want to disappoint people because we can't assume that Sean Cassidy will be able or have the energy or the time to go through to meet 10 strangers. We don't know. We don't know.
Right.
But we knew that we would love, if it was possible, we would love to take them with us on this experience, should it come to be. But again, you can't bring it up because if it's not going to happen, it might just be too much to ask of him. So the good news is, in a very last minute way, we eventually got word that we would be invited to the VIP experience, which is a question and answer period with Sean Cassidy. And then we found out, when we got, okay, this is, maybe this is just me, but I didn't get this. When we arrived, we found out we would also be going backstage after the show. And our people had no idea. So for us to be able to provide this for them was so incredibly gratifying. I can't even tell you.
Yes.
You know, he has, over the past 2 years, I mean, it's true. We've become very friendly with Sean Cassidy, and he's so generous,
generous
to us and such a supporter of our podcast. We can't thank him enough for just how he is, how he supports our podcast. But at the same time, we know he is on a tour. He needs to protect himself, his time, his voice, his energy. So we have no expectations or assumptions in a situation like this. And we respect any decision he's going to make. So when he said, yes, I want to say hello. And yes, you can bring your friends back with you that are with you. It was just another example of just what a cool and generous and giving man he is. And he is so great, gracious and nice. And we couldn't be more grateful that he did that. Our friends, you know, yes, it's always fun. I don't know if I'm speaking for the two of you. I think I am. But by now, I have a really hard time correlating who I'm talking to that person that was on the cover of Tiger Beat. Right. Because to us now,
it's trippy.
He's just normal and a friend. I have to really stop and think. Because he was drinking tea, I guess, at when we came back, he disclosed to us, like, he wasn't feeling that well. His throat was a little scratchy. And when Sean Cassidy looks at the three of us and asks us, did I sound okay? Could you hear it? I felt my voice cracking a little bit. Could you guys hear it? Like, when he's asking
us. He apologized for his performance. And we're like, what are you talking about?
You sounded incredible.
Yeah.
You were rocking it on the Rocky songs. You were, I mean, my gosh, when he sings those songs, like the song he sang in Blood Brothers, and when he ends the show with the song that his mother is known for Music Man, it was so powerful and beautiful. But anyway, I just feel like for us, we were kind of like, oh, hey, Sean, like, it's always fun to see him.
Yeah.
But our friends were like, oh, my God, like, Kristen, I'm going to pee my pants, you know.
Yeah.
So we can't thank him enough for being so generous to us, not only us, as he always is, but to say, sure, bring your friends back. That was really cool.
He's generous to everyone. Like, all the people that asked him Q&As in the beginning. You know, he really listens to your question. He's really thoughtful with his answer. He is really touched by the stuff that people shared. And I've got to say, this go-round, I hate to say it like that, like I've had several go-rounds, but this time interacting with him was really, I just noticed, for lack of a better word, kind of the humanity. Like he was so touched by all the people that mentioned his mother, so much so that he told us when we got to see him afterwards that after the Q&A, where a lot of people brought up how special his mother was to them, he called her. He called her on the phone and he told us that. Like he was so, he just felt so strongly that she needed to know how much people were sharing their stories about her with him. And then some people bring gifts for him, and he shared with us, and I got teary. So whoever the listener is out there, well, maybe they're not our listener, but whoever the person was at the concert, they wrote him a letter, and he read it in between the Q&A and his concert, and he shared with us that this person wrote kind of a list of meaningful moments in her life that Sean was somehow a part of, whether it was a song was playing on the radio when something happened in her life. He said they were very just normal moments in life that his voice or his presence kind of wove themselves into. And he was so touched by this letter that he shared it with us, and you could hear it. He wasn't that Sean, like you said, Kristen or Michelle, on the record cover or on the walls. He was a man who was realizing just how important in a way he was in people's lives, and he was not at all taking that for
granted.
He's
humbled. But, he's very humbled.
He was so
by
humbled.
It.
I was so touched by that.
Yeah.
So anyone who ever has reached out to him, it doesn't go unnoticed, I guess I
it
want
doesn't.
To say.
He, and I think, because I think back in, you know, 1978, 77, 78, 79, 80, it probably did. And no,
well, he was
like
a kid.
No, yeah. Exactly. It was very understandable that you just kind of are there for that, like the screaming and the whatever, and this is cool. But
you're
not really
realizing.
Oh, no,
but really I think at 19, he was, like, unlike most.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think he was a very unusual human. I think he's an unusual teenager who actually got that and was humbled by that, even at the age of 19. It's
such a
breed.
Great show. And
and
we're not going to go, listeners, we're not going to really go into detail about his show and the songs he sings and the stories he tells. Oh, but goddamn, he's funny. Gosh, he's funny.
Yeah, because we want you to go.
And he's,
if
so,
you
he's
have
a little
chance.
He's a little self-deprecating, but which I think is always funny. But about like the teen, when I say that, I mean self-deprecating about the satin pants and the whatever, but then he'll turn around and go, but I could still wear them today.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd still look good in them today. We're not going to do a detailed dive into the concert because we are still hoping that before this concert tour is over, Sean is going to come back on the show and talk about that with us. So stay tuned for that. Fingers crossed for that. We have a good indication that he's going to. So let's just say that. Let's just say this. Please, right now, anyone listening, if you have not already seen the show, because this started in September, this North America tour, if you haven't already seen it, because he's done East Coast, I think, go on SeanCassidy.com. Go to, he has all the places he's going. You guys, this tour is going through the end of March, which is crazy. It is his biggest tour that he's ever done, even when he was a teen idol. So this is crazy. It's so fun. It's so good. Grab a couple of your friends. Grab your husband. My husband my husband also did like Sean Cassidy's music, but didn't, you know, because his sisters played it all the time. My husband had a blast. Like he was singing, he was dancing. So grab someone to go with, go by yourself if you have to, but just go. just find a city near you and just go. Mm-hmm. There are still tickets available, especially for some of the dates that are in 2026. And we can't stress enough that it is a good night. It is a good time.
And it's a good night and it's a good time very much because of the man that he is. And I want to go back to these two things that we've been talking about, which is the moment where he's like, was it okay? Did you hear my voice crack? And when he's calls his mother, and three incidents. And then when he shares us the letter that he got from the listener, because I think there's a myth that I've been trying to bust, that women are attracted to big man on campus energy. This is a myth. This is wrong. And it's a myth that I've been trying to dispel actually in both of my books. Both Rory Calhoun and Scott Fenwick have moments of vulnerability that they share with others. Because when a man is brave enough to acknowledge his vulnerability and share his concerns with others, it's like the ultimate act of trust, and it brings people closer. So I use this as a literary device to help the reader feel closer to the crush and to make make Rory Calhoun and Scott Fenwick worthy of Millie's love. It's not needy. It's reflective. And it shows that they care. And I swear to God, I think caring is the thing that is ultimately attractive. And this is what we have in this man who used to be a boy, who is now a grown man. And the reason he still has us, because he's now in his 60s. He's not the 19-year-old in the satin pants anymore, but he still has us because of this humanity and this vulnerability and this self-deprecation and the caring. He still has us in the palm of his hand.
And the way he speaks so highly, of his mother, of his wife, the way you can just tell in all of his stories and the way he answers questions, he reveres his wife. He respects and reveres her and his mother. And this is just, it's not anything that is, a surprise when you see all of him together. He's so much more than just the guy in the satin pants who, sings That's Rock and Roll.
And that was a surprise to her. I'm sorry, Carolyn, did you want to go?
Oh, no, I want to follow up just on what you were saying about the vulnerability and, the characters that you create in your books. There's a moment, this happened both times I saw him, that in the Q&A people are like, can you reboot the Hardy Boys? And he's jokes around like, would it be the Hardy Grandpas? But he has said that it has to do with like the rights and stuff, but he would love to do it because he wants to create a TV show that really shows, one, relationships between brothers and what that's like, because there's not really anything out there or has been that shows what that relationship is like. And also to depict boys in this way kind of that you're talking about, Kristen, that they're not this toxic masculinity and bros and all of this stuff. He recognizes that needs to be shown to more people. And that's the angle, if and when any show like that would come on or that he'd be a part of, that's what he wants to highlight and hold up. And that just hit me in a really special place as the mother of a son. For him to recognize, and to your point, Kristen, that's who he is.
Right.
And he knows that needs to be held up more as special. And that's really the sexy.
It is really the sexy. And it's and I know that the, one answer to that could be like, men don't have enough programming. But this is different. This is showing men that there is a variety of ways to be a man. And one of them is this, and it's actually a really important way to be. And let's bust that myth. This is what women want. We want to be closer to you, and we can't do that if you're the big man on campus.
Exactly.
And this is a really, and the world is just a better place with men like that in it. Right. We're all in a better place if we have men like that in
it. And who better to tell that story than the Harry Styles of our generation?
That's
guys. I mean, people were throwing their underwear at him. Like, you can't tell us that's not attractive because he's an expert, let's just say.
Well, gosh, if we haven't sold all of y'all listening on going on seancassidy.com/tour and finding a city near you to get a ticket, because you're going to get all of that. Plus, you are going to get to do Run Run and That's Rock and Roll and a lot of fun stories. And everything we just described, you don't have to be able to go backstage and say hi to him. You don't even have to go to the Q&A. You will get all of that just from the concert itself. I promise you will.
And it's so interesting because there is, it can be scary to meet your idols, because what if they don't live up to your ideals? What if they're not the same? There's some worry about what if they're not the same as when I loved them when they were 19? Of course they're not the same. If they were, right. That would be creepy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about both like what they look like and how they act, because they could look like they've been, you know, smoking 3 packs a day for 40 years and then they're ashing in your drink. That could be what you, the person you fell in love with could be that person. And there's a fear to experience them now, because what if they're not what you thought they were? I've passed up opportunities before because of that. I didn't go see Davy Jones at one point because I'm like, how is he going to do Daydream Believer at 65? I didn't want my bubble to be burst. Right. They can't be what they once were, but they could be even better. And mm-hmm. that is what people found out. We know this about Sean Cassidy, but they were all agog. They had no idea. And I'm looking at everybody's posts today, and everybody is commenting about who he is as a person. They're talking about him as a writer. They're talking about his how authentic he was. They got so much more than they bargained for.
Yeah, they yes. did. Yeah. They did. All right, guys, I think we should probably wrap this up.
Wait, can I say one more thing? This is really okay. interesting, you guys. So one of the people in my group said to me as we were leaving, she said, do you still get that crushy feeling like when you were 10? And I said, no. I don't. He feels like, I had to think about it for a minute so I could explain it. I said, he feels like my old boyfriend, the one who got away. And I might look him up on Facebook to see how he's doing. And I'm really happy when I see that he's happy.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
It's different, right? It's different. Yes.
And we just, yeah, we would have wished him well when he was our old boyfriend. And we wish him well now when he turned out really well.
Like, he really did.
I think there's a little part of us that wants to say, see, we picked well.
Yeah, we got a good picker, right, as my brother would
teen
say.
Idol.
You got a good picker.
That's right. That's right. Nap time. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I think it's nap time.
I'm going to take a tubby and go get in bed.
Ooh, oh my gosh. Like, I am definitely taking care of myself the next few days by doing the things, of course, that I still need to do to, you know, make my life and my house run. But at the same time, I think I'm going to be kind to myself. And you know what I wrote in my journal? I just want to share with you guys as I was just kind of bullet pointing things that were just, you know, I was downloading is what I was doing in my journal. I didn't have the capacity to write beautiful thoughts. I was just like, oh, this happened. And at the end of the day, I put, and this is just who I am. I felt like, should I even write this in my journal? I'm just so proud of us. I'm really proud of us. Of course, I had written all the stuff about being grateful for our supporters and just so humbled by them and just so happy that we touched them. But I just kind of had to turn it back just for a little second and say, you know, after 5 years and looking at what we did this weekend, I'm just really proud of us, you guys. That's it. The end. I don't even have any more to say about it. I think that goes without saying all the reasons I'm proud of us, but I'm proud of us.
I don't know what I would do without this, honestly. This has been on so many levels for me, therapeutic, a growth experience, all these things. I could never have imagined what my 50s and now going into my 60s would look like. And I'm so excited and I'm so grateful to the two of you and to all of you out there who listen and support us. You have no idea. I am proud of us too.
I am too.
Yeah. You know what people say, our conversations fuel them and get them through hard times. And they look forward to Mondays. They look forward to these conversations because they love to sit in that joy that they felt or that the joy that these memories bring up. I mean, that's exactly what it does for me. And I think for you too, you guys too. So that's how I feel. I feel grateful for this podcast, for getting me through hard times and for fueling me. Even though we're the ones on the other side of the mic, we feel exactly the same. So
we absolutely do.
I love you guys. I love all of you listeners more than you guys could know.
It's so amazing. I don't even know how to end the episode. I don't even know how to end it.
I know.
And with that, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time.
That's right.
Are we going to do a toast?
Should we do a toast? Yeah, let's
do a toast. We won't do any of the patron stuff or whatever.
Okay. And I don't have champagne, but...
No, I've got a Kleenex. I've got coffee some works. Kleenex.
In I've the got meantime, a drip of my coffee left.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company, to good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, Chrissy.
Cheers, everyone.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.
Today's episode is being sponsored by artist, author, and longtime friend of the PCPS, Anne Pellegrino, who has created one of the cutest, most fun, and infectious Gen X journals that's truly a creative trip down memory lane. The Gen X Journal is so much more than just a journal. It's a retro activity book for people of a certain age, filled with journaling prompts. I love that. I never know what to write in my journals. Coloring pages and cute doodles themed around our childhood and teen memories. What did your bedroom look like? Describe it or sketch it out in the journal. What favorite toys do you remember? What songs were playing at school dances? You can make your own mixtape right in the journal. You'll find over 80 pages of cute illustrations, fun topics, journal prompts, and lots of room for your own writing and drawings. Spend some time recalling long-forgotten favorites and, most importantly, getting in touch with your younger self. We love this journal so, so much. And it's available where you buy books or through the link in the show notes of this episode. Again, it's called The Gen X Journal, and it's created by Anne Pellegrino, who is Spot Girl Design on socials. And trust us, her art is beyond darling and whimsical. Go to spotgirldesign.com to check out all of Anne's incredible designs. Thanks for sponsoring this episode today, Anne. And more importantly, thank you for creating such a fun and fabulous journal.